You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. I'm on location in Singapore attending the Global Chatter Conference organized by the CGSIMB group. And of course, we're trying to understand a little bit better about how investments can be set aside for Sharia growth. We're trying to understand a little bit better about risks and challenges that's involved. Over this whole week, we're going to be talking to a whole host of market leaders, of business leaders, as well as Sharia Advisory Council leaders as well. Joining me for this evening's conversation is Dr. Aznan Hassan, the Deputy Chairman of the Sharia Advisory Council of the Securities Commission Malaysia. Dr. Aznan, thanks again for taking time to speak with us. I want to learn a little bit more about where do you feel the situation is when it comes to Sharia investments? Do you feel that we're on the growth trend, or a little bit on the declining side, or we have been plateauing over the past few years? Where do you feel the situation is right now?
Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you very much for the questions. In terms of where we are now, I think Islamic finance is a progressing industry, not only in Malaysia but everywhere in the world. And you can see a lot of approaches by the countries are different. Some countries, their approach of Islamic finance in a very serious manner. On top of that, you have Malaysia, you have Indonesia, you have Middle Eastern countries, especially the GCC. Some countries, their approach in finance as an opportunity basis.
Okay.
Kind of UK, for example, US in some deals.
Not nice to have, but an opportunity that they can just...
They want to have, but looking into their demography and everything, so they go on opportunities basis. South Africa come to that particular group as well. So the regulation of Sharia is also different from one country to another, depending on how they approach Islamic finance. What we need to have moving forward, I believe that whether you are approaching this way or you're approaching the another way, the most important one is the Sharia governance framework must be intact. And we can see a lot of improvement from time to time from countries to countries. For example, in terms of approaching the Sharia approval or Sharia governance framework in terms of regulating the Sharia decision in Islamic finance when it comes to this particular state. And I believe moving forward, Islamic finance is going to be, I believe, not only just an alternative to some countries, but it's going to be a mainstream. Malaysia, Indonesia, looking at their big population, GCC, for example, many countries, many companies, for example, if they want to do finance, they want to raise funds, they will do Islamic first. Latest, you see Aramco, the biggest oil company in the world.
The biggest company right now, not just oil company.
Yeah, and they come also on, they are coming again for another fundraising for their needs, for example, for that matter. So I believe Islamic finance is going to be approached not only as an alternative or opportunity basis, but also perhaps in, not if not country, many countries on mainstream finance that can be used for financing or for risk fund and for so forth and so on for that matter.
Yeah, this is very important because since you were mentioning that the jurisdiction is being rolled out, Islamic finance across many countries, across many markets, we have to expect some dissimilarities between these kind of markets. You are, of course, a board of Sharia for many entities, not just in Malaysia, but across the region, as well as some in the GCC. You've been doing this for some time. You are, boleh dikatakan, old hand in this, so you know what works, what doesn't work. Maybe you can share with us on how do you find the how do you harmonize the kind of different markets and their understanding of Islamic finance to see the industry grow, not necessarily the dissimilarities widen even further, the gap widen even further, but how do you grow the industry across different markets, considering that jurisdiction requires different understanding of Islamic finance?
First of all, let us start by stating that the differences are not so many anyway.
Okay.
Sometimes people like to harp on differences rather than looking at the opportunity of harmonization. I think that's the first thing we need to understand, because I have heard so many times people talking about dissimilarities, problem in cross-border. But if you look back, sometimes it's not about Sharia, it's about legal issues.
Okay.
The structure is different. Middle East, they are civil-based countries, civil law-based countries. We are common law-based countries. Indonesia is civil-based, civil law-based country. So sometimes it's not Sharia, it's legal more than Sharia. But because of difficulties in understanding, people lump together, it's in Sharia problem. That's the first one. Second one is that the harmonization happened a lot. whether it is within a particular jurisdiction or with the on regional basis or on global basis. Mm. Let's start with the per jurisdiction basis.
Okay.
In many countries previously, they have no central regulator when it comes to Sharia. Mm. So everybody do
as they want. Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes the competition is not about whether your product has better quality or not. Some harp on my Sharia, my product is better Sharia than you.
Which is very dangerous. Wow.
Because they will try to say that my Sharia is better than yours and everything.
I mean,
without any good evidence to show so sometimes.
But I don't know. I mean, you may disagree with me, but I understand why one would do that. Number one, there's no central body to govern. But the second is, how else do you differentiate, right?
Correct. But that's not good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not good at all.
I agree.
So many countries, realizing that situation, they said, look, when it comes to banking, financial product, we should go on quality base. Mm, mm. And what is the added value that you give to the people? Rather than talking about mine is Sharia better than yours and everything. Mm, so many countries have their own, what we call jurisdiction-based regulation on Sharia. So many, we started with us long time ago. Malaysian has our central SSC at Bandaranegara and SC. And then followed by many countries. You can name a lot of countries. You have UAE, you have Nigeria, you have Qatar, you have Bahrain, you have lately Kuwait, now Saudis. Everybody come to, even Afghanistan have their own central now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but they have their own central. Okay. The intention is for us to ensure that the Sharia is not one of the reasons for competition. So we centralize on the Sharia, stating that once your product is approved by the HSA or by the SSC, depending on the name of the jurisdiction, you can no longer go to the public stating that my Sharia is better than yours.
Yeah.
So you compete on the quality of your product rather than stating on other matters. That's the first thing. If I continue,
go on.
On jurisdiction basis. On regional basis, we have our discussion from time to time. International basis, we have 2-3 regulatory framework or regulations or bodies that try to regulate in terms of Sharia compliance. On the top of that, you have in Malaysia, you have International Financial Services Board, IFSB, we call it, regulating on the framework. And we have IOF Sharia Standard, regulating on the Sharia manner. So if we follow that particular framework, you can see a lot of harmonization moving forward. And that will reduce the gap of misunderstanding from one jurisdiction to another and from scholars to another scholars.
Let's put things in perspective and in practice as well. CGS-CIMB operates in a lot of markets.
Correct.
Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. They've launched the trading account for Sharia investors in Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia. Where do you feel the growth opportunities lie when it comes to growing in a corporate like CGS-CIMB in, say, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and many others?
I mean, we at CGS-CIMB, I'm talking as my capacity as a Sharia advisor of CGS-CIMB, we look from two angles. The first one is that we want to put a product which can be applied in all jurisdictions. So whether you are in Malaysia, whether you are in Singapore, whatever Sharia standard that you apply, you can apply in both jurisdictions. Even though the way Monetary Authority of Singapore regulates different from SSC of SC, we are different. Because at SC, Securities Commission, all product of Sharia must get approval from the SC. In here, it's different. So if you say your product compliant, you represent your product compliant, you approve it, you go to the market, you don't have to come to us at all. So that will be the approach that you have here, MAS and SSC of SC. So we try to bridge the gap in that sense. So we said that, look, so the central bodies for regulation of Sharia is the first one is the Sharia advisor. So he will have to look into applying a product or putting the product that can be applied in both jurisdiction.
Okay,
that's the first one. Of course,
is it the best product? If one would do that, you're trying to find the lowest common denominator, no? Would you miss out on an opportunity of giving the best
no,
product?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we miss anything for that matter.
Okay.
So the quality of product that we give actually can be applied in better jurisdiction in that sense. So you go to Malaysia, you get the same product. You come here, you get the same product. So you don't have to worry the problem as your product being rejected in other jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that we apply here in
Malaysia.
So we see a lot of opportunity in terms of bridging the two jurisdictions, not only through jurisdiction, perhaps later on we may go into other jurisdictions as well. So the product can be applied in the same manner. You can just plug and play. You can allow your investors to move around all this jurisdiction, applying all the product in the same manner. So that will be the seamless opportunity and experience that we want them to experience when it comes to CGS CIMB for that matter.
Okay. Let's change tack now, change gears. I want to talk about sustainability and ESG. A lot of the speakers today on the, at this conference are talking about the many similarities in ESG and Sharia. And they also argue that perhaps the unification of some indexes or indices between Sharia companies and ESG companies put together, they argue that perhaps the method or barometer of valuing a company in terms of Sharia compliance versus ESG compliance is actually about the same.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on this whole comparison?
By right, when we talk about Islamic finance, it has to be ESG, SDG, SRI, whatever you want to call it.
Yes. That is all Islamic, the alphabet too.
All whatever you want to call it, it should be Islamic. But unfortunately, we say that perhaps the situation of time, that time, when we started Islamic finance, we look at what they call negatively small.
Okay.
So we talk about...
exclusion list.
Yeah, exclusively. We call no riba, no gharar, no dealing with non-compliant item according to the Sharia and everything. But Sharia is bigger than that.
Mm.
That's why there are a lot of verses in Quran mentioned about you have to ensure that environment is protected and then a lot of things. Zahar al-Fasad. I'm going to go the verses of Quran for that matter.
Yeah.
So ESG, SDG, SRI, in actual fact, embedded in Sharia.
Yeah.
Yet there are some dissimilarities here and there.
Yeah, of course, of course. It's not a perfect fit, but there's a lot of overlap.
Let me put you two things. I advise some fund which combine both. SDG, I don't want to mention any fund kind of promoting.
Yeah, I know.
So that put two things together, SDG base and also Sharia base.
Okay.
And it proven that by having that particular index, it can...
marketability is improved.
Marketability and also in terms of return.
Oh, really?
Not just marketability.
There is a direct correlation in terms of...
In that manner, one fund that we advise advised by some professors from Oxford, from investment point of view, shows that if you apply these two screening together, the return on your stocks, the return on your universe will be better compared to applying here or there only. So that's the first thing. So when we put the thing together, for that matter, Sharia and SDG, environment, governance, social whatsoever, that will improve not only in terms of the value that we want to impart, but also in terms of return for that matter.
How does that work? Wouldn't that be a bit difficult, right? Cost will go up in a way, no?
Initially, yes. But moving forward, I mean, this is one-off kind of what we call a setup cost for that matter.
Mm.
So once the index is there, you have set up your universe, you have set up your screening methodology and everything. So that particular thing become no longer a main cost for your main cost for your continuation of that particular fund no longer. So if you ask me about where we stand on that particular things, my answer is very simple. We don't talk about ESG, SDG. By Lu talking about Sharia, we need to emphasize on the other, you are not Sharia.
Okay.
No, you are not Sharia. So look, like it or not, you have to do that. Of course, there are some dissimilarities, for example, SDG. But let us go on something that can unite us rather than diverse us for that matter.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing. Previously, when we talk about Islamic and conventional, they are two different things altogether.
Yeah.
Now, conventional, when they do ESG, SRI, they are coming very near already.
Yeah.
So we come also nearer to them. So we have a place where we can meet, where we get investors that want to do thing that following the SRI, SDG, at the same time, they are also very near to Islamic for that matter.
All right. Dr. Zainal, we'll take a short pause for now. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more about the ongoings of the Sharia Investing World with Dr. Aznan and me. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. As we promised you before the break, we're going to be talking at length about the Sharia Investing world. Joining me for this evening is, of course, Dr. Aznan Hassan, the Deputy Chairman of the Sharia Advisory Council at the SC, or Securities Commission. Dr. Aznan, let's go on with our conversation right now. I want to learn a little bit more about some of the opportunities that you think lies when it comes to the Sharia Investing world.
First of all, you know, like also you mentioned about some standard differences in standard on Sharia. Mm-hmm. When it comes to SDG, SRI, ESG, they have their own different standard as well. They have the Asian bond standard, they have European standard on that matter. So they also have the same way like you mentioned Sharia as well.
Different standards.
Different standard and different criteria, different benchmark. And
not necessarily bad, it's just different.
It's different. I'm not talking about bad, it is different. Yeah. I mean, some is something very localized, for example. Some depending on their situation for that matter. So so when we talk about standard, the building capacity in terms of looking into the standard, assessing the standard, applying the standard, ensuring that we comply continuously to the standard. So they have their own standard for that matter. And building capacity is also one of the issue that we have. So first of all, when we talk about building capacity, we have to understand also what are the standard that they have for that. Building capacity for Asian SRI bond standard is different from European SM bond standard for that matter. So it's a continuous process. We have gone through that in Sharia. Okay, we have put various effort to continuously develop our standard, our Sharia capabilities. Malaysia, you have ASAS, the one that I headed for how many years? Association of Sharia Advisors in Finance. Equivalent you have in UK. You have some. You have also in UAE, in Bahrain, and all those are there to build the capability of the Sharia. I believe that the same thing we need to go when it comes to this, all the standards of SDG, SRI, and in SD for that matter. For the time being, many of these work are done by the rating agencies. So that's, we have Mark, we have Bram, we have other. The accounting firm, whatever, to do all those things. But moving forward, I believe that we need to think on how to liberalize more rather than it monopolized or put together by only the big firm, for example. How for us to move further to ensure that many people can understand more? The standard that we have established must also put a standard on how to develop people on that.
Okay.
I think they have come together. Otherwise, you have all the standard when it comes to application, verification, it should come by the same people again.
It's again, and the same trouble,
same trouble we come again for that matter.
Okay, so in short, do you feel that in the next 2 to 3 years, short term, because of the economy slowing down, because of interest rates being hiked up across various jurisdictions, ex-China, because of inflation rate rising, particularly food prices, and because of the geopolitical situation that is happening around the world. I'm not just talking about Ukraine and Russia, I'm talking about, say, China and Taiwan, or you know, the
complex Korean problem of the world.
Yeah. Where do you see the world moving in the next short term, outside of, say, SRI or
I think this I call complex problem. I mean, it's not just one problem, many problems coming together, build up the problem that we face in the world.
Perfect storm.
Perfect storm. What they call all the name of all the lady storm kind of thing. So the big challenge for this particular period is that how for us to ensure that financial sectors can help people to build up their life. I think that's what, as a Sharia scholars, we are not looking into money value alone. Sharia is bigger than that. We look into how the sectors that we work, financial basically, can help to alleviate people in terms of their difficult situation. Big challenge is on the financing part. I mean, how for us to grow our top line and everything, at the same time benefiting people. That's why, like it or not, we need to look at finance not only from pure financing point of view. SDG and everything, like it or not, we have to look into it. Why? Because this will help people to progress more. How if we look at finance, not only for us to look at money and profit alone. That's why in our VBI, for example, in Malaysia, we don't call profitability.
Yeah.
We don't call profitability. Yeah. We call in terms of how for us to benefit the people. Mm. Value-based intermediation. Mm. So while we grow the numbers, we have to also ensure that at the same time, how this finance, be it Islami or SDG, can help people to improve their life. Mm. In every sector that they have. I think that's the key moving forward that we need to put in front of all the CEOs, the C-suite people, the top management, the boards of financial institutions, be it Islamic or conventional for that.
So that should negate the whole perfect storm notion, because correct, even with that situation happening befalling us right now, we don't know how long it'll last out. We don't know whether a recession is going to hit us.
And we never know what will come after this more.
But as long as a value-based or VBI notion is there, I think we are set in that path. Do you believe that?
We need to instill that feeling into the heart, not only the people, all stakeholders.
All
stakeholders. Regulators, you know, in some countries, for example, they don't bother on all these matters as yet.
Yeah, I agree, of course, because that's not a priority for them.
That's not a priority for them. How for us to be able to instill that in the heart of the people? I think that's the main challenge. In one of the discussions with Central Bank that I had, I was just back from one country, from Middle East, directly to Singapore.
Okay.
So they come to my hotel to discuss several issues. They asked me, in your opinion, moving forward, what we should do for Islamic finance in their country?
Okay, open-ended question.
I said, look, finance is finance. But the most important part, how for you to ensure that the finance that you are in the country helping people to enhance their life? That is the most important one. That's it. They said, this is what Sharia tell us this long time ago. That's what we need to do. Finance is not just about number. It's about prosperity. Mm. Prosperity is not about profitability. Mm. It's more than that. You make a profit, yes, you make profit, but at the same time, how for you to be able to help people to also build up their life, for them to enhance their life, for them to prosper in this world together with you. That is the word, Islam and prosperity.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. I really appreciate the candor that you have shared, and of course the kind of insights that you have brought forward for this interview. But for now, that was our conversation with Dr. Azlan Hassan, the Deputy Chairman of the Sharia Advisory Council at the SC. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking to a whole host of individuals, and have been talking to a whole host of individuals over the past few days about the Sharia investing world. If you've missed any part of these kind of conversations, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad. Also, you can look for some of these contents as well on Niaga Awani. So do look for Notepad, look for Niaga Awani, plenty of resources that can be found there. For now, this is me, Ibrahim Sani, signing off from Singapore.